Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And welcome to your AEW questions answered. I'm Adam Wilborn, joined by another one of the Dudley Boys from What Culture, Michael Sidgwick, to answer all of your burning All Elite Wrestling questions. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we review AEW Dynamite, AEW Collision, Raw, SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Oh! Pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete. League quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to answer all of your AEW questions. We thought we'd do this today because there is no AEW Collision, of course. And I should mention, on Monday, all going well, we will be going live on YouTube with our wrestling Q&A then, which will be all focused on WrestleMania.
Past and present.
Indeed. So let's dive straight into it. We posted a pitch for questions on X at What Culture WWE. And one of the first replies I saw, Michael Sidgwick, was from Matt Reigns.
Hey! The number one Sidgwick mega fan.
Who says, thank you as always for your question, Matt. And looking forward to Matt Reigns taking on Michael Hamflett in just a couple of weeks' time. That's mad. It's been nice to feel things again for AEW outside of the women's division, which is already the best it's ever been, says Matt. What can they continue doing better throughout the year? More books and Okada, if anything. Cheers, gents. Cheers to you, Matt.
If you look at the very best periods in AEW history, I'm talking about the build to Full Gear 2019. That 6-episode stretch of the first string of Dynamite episodes, February 2020, my beating heart. A lot of the stuff with Omega and Paige, that slow burn stuff during the summer of 2020, and their oscillating fortunes, Kenny Omega doing that entrance before that match with Sonny Kiss, that shot, god damn it, of Kenny Omega having won the opener, celebrating with new World Tag Team Champions, the Young Bucks, at Full Gear 2020. And you can just see hovering, lurking, unable to join in because he himself does not deem himself Elite Hangman Page in the tunnel, going to Belt Collector, the Young Bucks with Nick Jackson. The very best stuff they've done in this company is the best stuff the company has done. So Matt's onto something. He often is. As long as this Elite stuff continues to get better every week and they're dialed in, you just get that sense. You get that sense. The difference now between the difference between now and the dialed in, just that cadence, that just that sense that they're really and truly back and passionate and, you know, they found their smile, basically. That's what the thing is. They have found their smile. Contrast this with that phoned in, well, we'll work with our friends.
Yeah.
After,
I guarantee if they did an interview now about signing a new contract, they wouldn't just say, well, the dates are pretty easy. And
it's funny you should say that, Wilborn, because you're absolutely correct. They did a piece for Sports Illustrated ahead of Revolution talking about the Sting match, et cetera, et cetera. And they, without saying, oh, we weren't into it that much last year. they said, we're just loving it again. We found our passion again. We're just enjoying being amongst it again. And I'm not saying that it's as simple as, oh, and the Elite are on form, the promotion is. But I think what had been forgotten, and my word, they are reminding you right now, is just how talented these wrestlers are. Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Hangman Page, and now Kazuchika Okada. And they have a really good collaborative relationship with Tony Khan, who is the head booker still. I just think it got lost how great these guys are, how creative they are, how it's such a great feeling when they are one step in front of you with the various foreshadowing moments and Easter eggs. They're just geniuses, these guys. And it got lost, and now we've been reminded. And I'm not saying that they are driving everything. There's some great stuff up and down the promotion. The philosophy continues to be, if you've got a great idea, we encourage you to go out there and do it. But those peaks, and who is at the forefront of the promotion when they reach those peaks, there's a relationship there, and for me, it is completely irrefutable. Would AEW be worse off with the Elite not in it? Immeasurably so.
Mm.
Would it be the same without them? It depends on the circumstances. It wasn't the same without them when they were suspended at all.
Mm.
The company could exist and reach highs in theory without them if the split was, oh, we're retiring, or we just don't want to do it anymore, but it's because, not because of this flashpoint moment like the CM Punk thing. It's just the correlation just cannot be denied.
Yeah, I think it's putting the whole EVP thing to one side. I think it is sort of a trickle-down effect as well. I think, you know, them, because they're completely within their rights to rest on their laurels if they wanted to. Well, you and I wouldn't be happy.
Saw it last year.
But yeah. But I think people seeing them going, geez, look at the lengths that they're going to, or the commitment they're putting into this. And then I think people think, oh, maybe I should, you know.
Step up my game.
Yeah. And not just, you know, in-ring action.
Iron sharpens iron.
Thinking about, you know, I've got all this time week to week, thinking about what my character and motivations and plans are and stuff. And obviously it's, we talk a lot about how much of a collaborative process that is, sometimes to its detriment, but mostly to the benefit of AEW. And I just think, yeah, they inspire quite a lot of people, whether or not they're, you know, pally with them or not. You've got to look at them and how they've transformed the, it's such a weird sentence to say this, transformed the feeling towards Kazuchika Okada being in AEW from, I think it's fair to say, from you and I, kind of indifference.
Indifference. It wasn't just us.
No.
It wasn't. There was no huge, oh, I cannot wait for him to come. When's he coming? How to fantasy book him?
Spoil, aren't we? Because we'd be like, oh, we'll have great matches, but everyone has great
matches. No, exactly right. Exactly right. If anything, the presentation of the character has so far outstripped the match quality, and I would much rather that way around, because you know it's Okada. He's going to wrestle a great match at some point, very likely next month.
In terms of what they can do better or can continue to do better, I'm a hypocrite because I'll sit here and complain that, oh, God, they've kind of missed the boat with Swerve because I'm already waiting for Will Ospreay to become world champion. But that's not necessarily a bad thing in terms of not just going, okay, you can probably assume that this person's going to hold the title for the next 6 months. If you're like, look at the lineup of people they've got to potentially be next champions. There's a question I've got later on about who should be the next champions for each belt. You did a list, I think, or we've certainly talked about a lineage of the world title for like five people down the road in the early days of AEW, and that's what I can see now. I can see you going, okay, Joe to Swerve to Ospreay to Omega to
Okada,
like,
yeah, that's loads, and just one final thing on this question: what can they continue to do? Stay the course and staged and like really try and stick to this, I don't want to say experimental new approach because that's overstating things, but the idea that money, I like an opening match, right? How far did that get them? I'm not saying you need to do a show opening promo every week, and nor would I ever in 1 billion years say, do what WWE does. That misses the point. But the idea is that WWE isn't necessarily this anti-wrestling, you can't do anything that they do. This idea of Ospreay is in a match or an in-ring or a promo segment every single week. Okada gets a really cool bit of focus in terms of you get a sense of how the character's presented before he enters the ring. Money is all over the show. If those are your three acts, every single week they need to be used in some kind of prominent position. We saw what happened with the overstuffed roster when some weeks, you go weeks without hearing John Moxley talk, that doesn't work. Like, he's meant to be one of his stars. And then what happened as a result? His star power faded. They appear to have borrowed that trick from WWE, and it's really a trick from every other promoter ever, of pick a core of wrestlers that you most want your audience to invest in, with the idea being that you believe in that core to draw the most interest, buzz, money, ratings, and every single week have them on the show in some kind of high-profile capacity. They cannot have Ospreay not on it for a couple of weeks. They just can't do that. Underneath, rotate the hell out of that cast. I think that is... It was a feature, then it became a bug. It can be a feature again, but you need that core. Every promotion's had that core. Didn't really exist last year. It did, but maybe they chose the wrong storyline vehicle with MJF and Cole stuff. But that core needs to remain in place every week and be something that the fan base is unanimous about or can't deny. Like, there are people who don't like Will Ospreay, but they cannot deny he's the perfect fit, for example. People were not unanimous about the MJF and Adam Cole stuff. So.
Speaking of that, actually, CurryManFan1 on X says, can the four pillars be salvaged? And which of the four do you think will be world champion in the future?
Or MJF, 1,000,000% will be up there with the best wrestlers in the world, should he choose to stay in wrestling over the next 5 to 10 years.
Easy, yeah.
What happens is, and I've made this point before, so I will not dwell on it too long, is that the guy's still in his 20s. I would not want to look at my writing from my 20s.
No.
I think a lot of people wouldn't want to look at their work when they were earlier, especially in wrestling. You get so much better the older you are. People talk about the wrestler's prime, and it's in the mid-30s. Mm-hmm. It's when you've learned what not to do, when you've learned to rein yourself in, when you've learned to self-edit, when you've stopped trying to be so desperate to impress, when you become more assured.
Speaking on that topic, just to go completely on a tangent, I meant to send this. I might have already sent it to you, but I definitely meant to send it to you and Hamflet. You know, Time Hop, it gives you like loads. I love it because it gives you loads of old photos, and you go, oh, 2 years ago we were doing this or whatever, 4 years ago. You know, you say your takes and your skills evolve over the years, but I saw an old status that I put on Facebook 13 years ago.
Oh, God, what could this be?
And I completely stand by it. Would you like to read it out to the listeners?
Yes, this is from Adam Wilborn on Facebook 13 years ago. I'm just going to put this out there. The Mask may well be the best film caps lock ever. Ever? Was that a joke, or was that you being really sincere?
Shoot, yeah, I was going.
But like, not even doing a self-aware parody of yourself, just loving The Mask.
I just love it.
Just absolutely loving The Mask.
It must have been late on a Sunday. It's like...
So it's been on ITV2.
It's been on ITV2. I'm probably horrifically hungover if it's 13 years ago. I've gone, I think people need to be hit with this take. Sorry, but I interrupted.
No, it's fine. MJF will be absolutely fine. He's too talented. He's too great. He's too charismatic. He will get better with age and probably realize that elements of his 2023 run and his title reign put down to true folly of youth stuff. I've got no doubts whatsoever about him. Darby Allin should be the world champion if he completes the Everest climb. Not because it's such a great story, not because it's kind of, how can you not win a title if you climb Everest? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a great human interest story. I think it makes all the sense in the world. You can't not push him after that. What a feat it is. And even if he didn't end up climbing Everest, I think what a story it would be, the ultimate, other than MGF, homegrown success story of a guy who's made everyone better that he's in the ring with. He's had everyone's best match. He's obviously instrumental in the magic, the impossible magic of the Sting run. His promo game, it's always shorthand. Bret Hart's always invoked a shorthand of, you know, he's never a Flair, never a Rock, but you believed everything he said, even if he wasn't particularly flashy with it. Darby Allin, who does need to drill that work shoot nonsense out of him, has cut promos where he comes across as an authentic human being. Mm. He could be the babyface that leads his promotion, and I think it would be a great, great story. The other two,
got a ceiling, haven't they?
Well, noble total noble failures. Yeah. I know they were not exactly doing show, don't tell, but I loved when and why they did the Four Pillars in AEW originally. It was in the wake of Punk, Danielson, and Cole being signed is when it first became canon. And that was just a nice, reassuring nod from Tony Khan / MJF of, yep, we've signed these unbelievable free agents, but don't worry, we are still adamant about pushing our youth movement. And then subsequent to that, Sammy Guevara won the TN title, to keep that in mind. And it was a noble failure that possibly was too ambitious for a medium like pro wrestling in terms of how often TV shows happen, and I make this point all the time, and what the medium actually is. Ultimately, you can tell or attempt to tell the most ambitious, intricate, well-plotted, rich in continuity, long-form stories like the Elite try to do, and they try to do something similar with the Pillars. It didn't even work for the Elite. Mm. I think by 2023, I thought that the program with the Blackpool Combat Club was such a disappointment. I think they kind of misjudged how much people cared about the reunion purely because they'd tried to tell this story that went on for years in a medium that never ends, and it just started to sort of repeat itself. It descended a bit into parody. It's that idea of, you've fallen out again. When Omega and the Bucks fell out last year, I was like, you cannot do this again. Mm. And it just brought into focus, you can't really tell this sort of story in pro wrestling. And they tried to do it with the Pillars. And again, the idea was so anti-WWE. Oh, you know this guy you've just seen on national television for the first time in Sammy Guevara? He's going to main event a pay-per-view in 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, and it didn't work because you ultimately... The audience is in control of your stories, no matter how much you try and make it the other way around. Guevara, for me, how many times does he have to do something stupid?
Mm.
How many times? It's telling the amount of times he, and he's in his late 20s now, if not his early 30s.
Mm.
How many times does he have to say, oh, I promise 30 years old, I have to do better, or I own up to my mistakes, and I'm... You know, he seems like he's got a good, stable family life and all the rest of it, but sometimes people are just a bit daft and they're their own worst enemy. And the thing about Guevara is that he's great at a plunder match, really great at an exciting TV match. He's never really... The in-ring style was kind of passé when he first debuted in AEW, to be honest, but he was really good at it. He hasn't really evolved as a performer. Mm-hmm. His move set, it's never really matched the personality. Too cocky to be a babyface, too spectacular to be a heel. He's still very, very wiry. I just think he doesn't have... It's one of those where I talk around it and I try to be nice. Some people just aren't the best.
Yeah.
It's how life freaking works. And he's not one of the best. And they've tried to put him in positions over and over again to be a TNT champion, to headline pay-per-views, his destiny with that T-shirt, to be a world champion... Not everyone gets to be world champion.
Yeah.
And Sammy Guevara is one of those not everybody. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, both Sammy and Jack Perry, I'm never going to completely rule them out of becoming a world champion, because sometimes you see these people, and like you say, Sammy's 30, but he's still, you know...
He's young for a wrestler.
Mm.
Well, isn't it?
Yeah. But sometimes you see these people and, you know, Drew McIntyre or whoever it may be, they go away and they go... Right, and they suddenly discover this focus and drive and what have you, and then they suddenly become undeniable. But the difficulty with that is...
No one ever goes away in AEW.
I'd put all the money in the world on MJF and Darby Allin being world champions, like you say, because they've just got that staying power. The problem you have is, even if they suddenly, Jack Perry and Sammy Guevara, suddenly decide, I'm going to turn it on now, it's like, well, that... Maybe it would have worked if you just kept the roster you had in 2019, 2020, 2021. But it's like...
They've been outclassed.
They've just got more... And the only thing that's going to happen is more people like that are going to come in.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen Ospreay. Well, he's going to be world champion. Okada. Well, he's going to be world champion. We'll probably see some more WWE jumps soon. And they're probably going to be world champion. Adam Copeland. You know, Adam Copeland. But as in terms of names you'd put ahead of them, possibly.
Yeah, and even then I wouldn't put them near the title.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right, Jack Perry, feel sorry for him. He made one big mistake. big, big, stupid, self-interested mistake. But as I always put it, that guy has probably held on to that seethe for so long, and he's just had the pressure cooker thing where he's erupted at the worst possible moment. It's inextricably linked to his entire career. I don't think that's fair. I mean, he's leaning into it with the scapegoat, but what else is he meant to do?
Yeah.
His heel turn was another guy whose character had a shelf life. Appeal maybe had a shelf life. But you're right to never say never. Can you imagine with what was fashionable in 2018 and 2019? Can you imagine saying Eli Drake is going to be a bigger WWE main roster star than Johnny Gargano? And you'd think, oh, that kind of makes sense. I don't know. Vince is gone.
Vince is gone
yeah. in 2023, but and it's Triple H is in charge.
Yeah.
But Eli Drake is still much bigger than Johnny
Gargano.
He's already
had big title matches for the world title against against Roman Reigns.
The inconceivable happens in pro wrestling. Yeah. You can't conceive it until it actually happens, often 5 years later. So you're right to never say never. Right now, 50% of them are finished.
Well, you allude to All In there, and we've got quite a few questions about All In, understandably, and thank you to everyone who sent them, and apologies if I sort of don't ask your question, but ask a question that is very similar to it. Let's start off with Ashley. Ashley, thank you for your question, who says, would you prefer AEW run multiple shows a year in the UK in venues such as the O2 and the Copper Box, or stick with just a yearly visit to Wembley?
I think next year they should realise. Depends how hot they get this year. You know, they might get really red hot again. Yeah. All this great work that they're doing might pay off and you can get really hot again. If the ratings stay the same, but they start getting 4,500, 5,000 instead of your 2,500 to 3,000. It's better, but never WWE big. Even then, I don't have to go to London every year. I don't think people want to have to go to London every single year. I would do a Dynamite, Collision, and a pay-per-view All In. Like a Dynamite on Wednesday in Newcastle, just off the top of my head, right? A Collision in Manchester on Saturday, and Wembley Arena All In on the Sunday, with the idea being that if you're Scottish, Newcastle's easy. You could do it in Glasgow. Like you've seen with the ICW boom, there are loads and loads of wrestling fans in Glasgow. So Glasgow, Manchester, London, or selfishly, Newcastle, Manchester, or Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Birmingham, so you get the North, the Midlands, and the South.
Yeah.
Because people from Wales probably, I don't know. Wales had Cardiff. Wales can have the Fed. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think that I'm already a little bit worried about, like, 40,000, there'll still be a tremendous atmosphere. They'll probably reach 50
mm-hmm.
if current trends continue. Still not going to look or feel the same.
No, don't set yourself up for failure either by just always promising, we'll always be at Wembley.
Yeah,
if there's only 20,000 of you, well, that'd look far better in an arena, you know?
I think that it's good to have all the ambition in the world. Like, Grand Slam last year was almost humiliating. It took a lot of last-minute graft in terms of promotion mm-hmm. and local promotion to make that semi-respectable, I would say. It looked good on TV, but it's a shame because the whole point of All In and why the Wembley was such a sequel, was such an inspired idea, was you think we can't do it? Well, we can.
Yes.
I mean, I think they could do a 3-city UK tour. It's not the biggest thing in the world. NXT did it.
Yeah.
Impact did really good,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, over here. But it's time to be realistic with that one, I believe. But then that's not in the spirit of All In.
I sense this is a question you and I are going to be talking about a lot in the coming months, but thanks to TM, who's always great with interacting with us on social media, who says, good afternoon.
They all are.
Yes.
All the listeners.
Since it seems to me like AEW are very much set on a road to All In already, what are the matches you'd expect to see on
Omega
that card?
Omega Ricardo, thank you.
Based on the direction of characters right now, and what is a match you don't expect based on programming, but you want to see anyway?
Oh, look, that narrative big bang of the new Elite forming, they basically said Okada and Paige is on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks versus Omega Paige 2 is on the table. Omega Okada 5
oh my God.
Is on the table. They've basically said, like, you know, if everyone's healthy and available, they've created this storyline and a rift between the original Elite that gives you all of these goddamn matches. So selfishly, do Omega a card of five, because the thing is, they are not going to beat Dominion 2018.
No
pair of professional wrestlers is, until it gets to like 20 years and bodies have just gone better, like they have now. In terms of how can you do that? Like Ospreay, Pac, Okada, like 20 years ago, that's just like inconceivable. In another 20 years, you might get the conditions for Okada Omega 4. Like Meltzer gets a lot of crap, but if he was ever going to justify a star rating, he did with that 7-starer. Like, you got the best title reign in the modern era. Sorry, Roman Reigns. And sorry, Adam Wilborn, for that matter. Mm-hmm. The biggest star, the two best wrestlers potentially of all time at their absolute physical peaks when they'd learned the complete craftsmanship of how to tell a story. Just the timing. And New Japan was hot as it is. Just the conditions were perfect. You'll never get those perfect conditions, much less in, what, 5 months?
Yeah.
Or there or thereabouts.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much spot on there.
So the best way, the best means you have of truly, because it's like, it's sacred, this Omega Okada thing. I'm not trying to be too much of a mark here, and I know it's my favorite match of all time. The idea is you don't just do it because you've got them on the roster. Like, it's sacred. You have to show reverence towards this. You cannot just do it. It's like, it'd be such a poor reflection of AEW. And I've got every faith if they do it, they'll do it right. Or they'll try to get it right. You can't just do that. They know their history. They know what they have to live up to. And I think the best shortcut of making it feel truly special, and you'll need a bit of smoke and mirrors and occasion surrounding it, is in a big packed out stadium. Hopefully it's packed out. So Omega and Carter 5. I would assume that's on the list.
Mm-hmm. Ospreay Swerve?
Ospreay Swerve is, you know, you might as well make the match graphic now. I don't, because it's been signposted enough as it is. The books is interesting. Here's one that they haven't remotely signposted, because it's kind of impossible, is, and the reason why I want this to happen is because I really hate that it didn't the first time around. So it's looking like, if you look at the brackets, Young Bucks versus FTR at Dynasty, for the vacant tag titles, with the idea being FTR's time to do a job. Let's see what that looks like. in that program, the Young Bucks need to have gold like Okada to establish themselves as the top stable in AEW. They have to be the elite. You can't just be the elite and be, oh, I'll be on telly 1 week, not the next. One of them can have a mid-card title, but that's not it. The idea is that they are the elite, the very best of the very, very, very best. The Bucks need to win those tag team titles. And quite frankly, if it's a meritocracy and you're award form and you go with your hot hand, as wrestling should be, the Bucks deserve the title.
Yeah.
Like FTR, the FTR pop no longer exists. They've kind of had a long, old time over the past 18 months to really be that top name in the division. It's the Bucks' turn again, and they've earned it. So I don't think it'll be Bucks versus FTR again at Wembley. What I would do, even if it's for a short reign and you can put them back on the Bucks if they're still really hot, and they should be, they're the Young Bucks. You can't just have a run for 6 months if you're that good. It should go on for a good 18. At some point, we're just doing this again, mate. Well, I'm doing it. The Blackpool Combat Club should break up. Kingston and Moxley still have that unfinished association from last year. They should team up again as babyfaces and right the wrongs of Double or Nothing 2021. They should have won the titles on that night.
I agree.
As good as the cage match was with the Lucha Brothers, as a match, Moxley and Kingston just felt hotter. They just felt cooler. There was so much fun together on screen. Like, it's really, like, this buddy cop, badasses. They were just amazing, amazing value. And if they can recapture that and do Double or Nothing 2021, ... with the correct finish at Wembley, that's what I would want to see. That's not yet been signposted.
And Michael Morris also says, seeing as you missed it last year, do you think Pac will have a big match at All In? I was thinking Okada, but it looks like they're doing that sooner. So who do you have in face?
Not being funny. 12 to 14 minutes, and I'm not saying that the title reign is going to go that long, but 12 to 14 minutes, given how physical they are, given how much their stuff looks like it absolutely sucks to take, how perk their stuff is, right? Roderick Strong versus Pac.
Oh my God.
I mean, that would be like unbelievable for like how impactful, intense, hard hitting, like rapid that match would be. Roddy Strong versus Pac. Pac becomes international champion again. And it's a bit different now because he was the one who, if you remember, like launched that title. He was the first champion. And Orange Cassidy elevated it to greater heights. Let's see if Pac can do it as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Manuel was asking questions about the All-In card, so I'm not going to ask that one, but thank you for this one. How do you handle the
Pac Takeshita, I'd like to see.
I like that. How do you handle the all-in, all-out problem?
Pac Takeshita, sorry.
It's all right.
Pac Takeshita, if Strong hasn't won the title, hasn't lost the title, if he's already lost the title, Pac could defend it successfully against Takeshita. It would just be tits.
How do you handle the all-in, all-out problem?
Hey, don't do all-out. I'm still... I mean, I know that's not the answer in this. We need to make as much money. I would like to make as much money as possible era. I'm still kind of furious that Wembley, for at least half the card, was treated as the road to All Out.
Yeah.
It still winds me up.
The amount of multi-man matches, I remember you just going, what are they?
Why is Kenny not in a singles match? And where I'm still pissed
That's
off.
The only way they salvage it, is this year they go, okay, we'll have fight a Carter.
Yeah. And then, you know, Ospreay needs a singles match, Pac. But then at the same time, I don't want it to be, you know, like WrestleFest, WWF WrestleFest in the UK.
Yeah.
I want it to be like this, the best show, irrespective of who's from which country. It's nice. I would have Will, Ospreay, Pac, and Hayter in singles matches, but I don't need it all. You know what I mean? I just don't. It's not an UK
Operation
show.
Invasion.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah, exactly. It's not that. If you can keep as many stars as you can hot, probably not the approach. As I said, you need that core. I want all that core in prominent positions. I don't know the answer. I don't think there's...
Do it 2 weeks after All In.
Yeah.
Do it 3 weeks after. Like, you've got the whole year.
I don't think there's... He loves these traditions, Tony Khan. What is it, Labor Day weekend? I don't know. I'm not American. I think it's Labor Day weekend, and he likes having the show held over Labor Day weekend. I don't give a toss.
No.
There's no elegant solution to this.
No.
Because even if, like, you have the best possible version of, like, a Dynamite... It's all very, like, loose, but kind of a Dynamite core and a Collision core. I don't want the Collision core at Wembley Stadium. Mm. People forget... It pissed me off to high heaven. The scope, the size, the prestige, the magnitude of doing the biggest wrestling show of all time, and then Kenny Omega was in a trios match. I'm still pissed off. Mm. So in answer to your question, I'd have to spend weeks at a time fantasy booking, plotting the story so you could vaguely do, what, 20, 21 matches across the two shows, and each show a week apart is truly worthy of being a WrestleMania-sized pay-per-view in and of itself that All In should have been? I think it's impossible.
Mm.
Sorry, that's a good question, and it's a question I would love an answer to. I just don't think there's a good one.
No. Another question from Manuel, actually. I'm not going to go to the full extent with
this. Two questions?
Well, it's one I've wanted you to answer on this, but I'm not going to take it to the fullest extent because Mamal suggested the next three champions. We won't go that far. We'll do it for the men's and women's world titles, but everything else I'll just say, who do you want to win it next? But yeah, who are the next champions for the world title, women's, tags, TNT, international, continental, TBS, trios?
Jesus. Well, that's...
ROH.
No, shut up, man. Shut up, man. We've, thank you for your question. I'm being facetious. Yeah. But we've talked at length, and it feels like, you know, when there's a certain thing that just... an issue that won't go away, but it's sort of on the TV program every single week, so you kind of have to talk about it and then talk in circles.
Yes.
I have to do that again. This AEW world title picture feels like a series of obligations that lead to Will Ospreay ultimately getting it at Wembley.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult when you know that is the destination to truly get excited about what's happening now, because it all just feels like such a formality. A predictable formality and the best bits yet to come. Mm-hmm. It's impossible for me to get that excited about Joe versus Swerve. I'm very much in the place of, it'll be great when it happens. So Swerve to Ospreay to Okada.
Yeah.
Let's see what he can do with that Continental first. But he can lose the Continental in about, a year? And then just level up and be Okada. What's next? Women's.
Mm-hmm.
Who should beat Toni Storm?
A lot of people suggesting Mercedes does it eventually in the replies on Twitter.
I think Mercedes Money should be nowhere near the TBS title. It just feels like you're trying to do it the other way around. Yeah,
people are trying to
have your cake and eat it too.
People are trying to book around it. Where's that tweet?
At this point in time, I would truly have Mercedes Money like beat Toni Storm and quite quickly turn heel. He's better as a heel.
Hater.
And then Hayter could beat Mercedes, because I just love Jamie Hayter. Mm-hmm. TBS, just quite like Willow Nightingale a great deal.
Yes.
So she deserves a big moment. Aminata is a tremendous talent as well. Like, if you actually go on that roster page, some real serious talent. Aminata is really something. If Monet is going to be a heel, I would do Toni Storm. I want Monet and Athena. To have a program.
Oh
my god.
I would strap up Sheeta over Supercard of Honor and introduce Athena to the AEW Women's Division post haste.
Every time she has a title match, I book Athena to lose.
Aye.
Because I'm like, get her away from there and get her on my television.
Yeah. Copeland. I just really like Daniel Garcia, you know.
Yeah.
I really
me
like
too.
Daniel Garcia. I think he's great. They've already included him in the subplot of the Copeland Christian Cage program. There's a story ramification as opposed to my favorite wrestler should win these titles. Because if Garcia beats Copeland and Copeland's like, him.
Mm.
He's a bit young. Shouldn't be getting beat off him. I need to change my mindset and turn heel and be heel alongside Christian Cage. So Garcia, I think, deserves it.
Tag titles?
Moxley and Kingston after the Bucks.
International.
There's too many titles, mate.
Yeah.
There are two.
We just booked International Pack.
Pack.
Yeah. Continental. Who beats a car?
Oh, bloody hell. You look. Hangman Page.
Yes.
Page really has gone ages, nearly 2 years without having gold.
Mm.
He should be featured prominently. He should be in that core. Mm. And he should beat Okada for that title after a while. A long, long time of elite dominance.
We'll circle back.
And they've already built the match.
Mm.
And is that like, I know the Hangman Page thing of, I'm feeling low, can get a bit much. But is there anyone, in terms of the presentation of the character, who... it would actually mean something again for Paige to start believing in himself. But that self-doubt, if it's a Carter that you're doubting yourself in the face of, you can really tell that story quite easily.
With his facials as well, like we saw on Wednesday. Trios is the final one here.
I don't care. They've killed that division.
I was about to say, Audi, the question literally below it on my thing says, how would you rehab the Trios titles? It looks like they're going to be unified with the ROH six-man, of course.
Yeah.
What? This division used to be hot but cooled before the belts were even introduced. Are they totally finished?
They were kind of... They were basically launched as the Elite. They were never the same. That Trios run was amazing, but it was very much, here's a present. Here's something you can like. Party matches with your mate. Mm. And some of them were like unbelievable. Yeah. Like the sixth match in the best of seven and the Chicago match in the best of seven, which is such fantastic TV matches. The whole point of Trios action is that, I'm not saying there's no depth to this. I'm not saying you can't tell stories or have loads of fun within it. But realistically, it's the kind of supercharged, exhilarating, how the hell are you doing that? How have you built this much drama? How have you done that save? You're meant to just get your mind blown by the action, and it's hard to do that with Max Caster and Daddy Ass in a ring. A disastrous mutual association between act and division, the Acclaimed. Just complete failure from top to bottom. Unacceptably so. I would put it on the three most exciting, rarely featured guys, put them together and have them do great matches on TV. I would have little more creative input on it than that. It's meant to be an action forward. Look how hard we let our guys go on TV. Is there anything wrong with that for like 15 minutes a week? Not at all when you've got 5 hours of telly.
And in terms of reestablishing the title, the alternative to that is you make it Adam Copeland, Christian Cage and Nick Wayne. That could be fun.
Yeah.
But I think I prefer your idea of, yeah, just
action forward.
Yeah.
Action forward. That's what it's meant to be about. You go through your favourite trios matches in AEW history. You think of the cool that you see.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Sorry. I try not to be reductive. If anything, in my attempts to not be reductive, am I talk too much on these frigging podcasts? It's about cool shit. That's what it is.
Yeah. Really interesting question here from Sam Williams. Thank you, Sam, for the question. Looking 5 years into the future, how much do you think AEW could develop to be a genuine rival to WWE, or do you see WWE pulling even further away? What will both companies look like in your opinions? Thanks, guys. Love the pods. Cheers, Sam.
Oh, Christ. Thank you, Sam. That is a bloody difficult question. The obvious answer is I've got no idea.
You and I worked together on something. I think you wrote it and I was tasked with presenting it about 5 years ago. This is a little bit later on in 2019, or maybe early 2020, before it all went really bad, obviously. Because I remember recording this and not thinking, it's a bit of a stretch from Sid. Yeah, completely agreeing with you in terms of like Dynamite or catch.
Let's try and find it as I struggle for this question. What culture wrestlers 5 years' time or something? Sidgwick.
AW wrestler, that's not it. I'll try and see.
Predicting the best wrestlers in the world 5 years from now. I'm sure I wrote that. What culture predicting 10 best wrestlers 5 years from now?
5 years. Because it's so hard.
Like 5 years' time or something like that.
Yep.
Right, okay.
It's time to play the game!
So I can remember the next two games.
Time to play a game.
I didn't allow that button today. I'm feeling jazzed.
Yeah.
I'll spit some water out.
How do you want me to do this? You want me to do 10 to 1?
10 to 1.
Okay.
Should I just... 10 to 1 and see where they are.
Okay.
So it's not really a game.
Yeah.
It's kind of a game.
It's your reactions to this. Number 10 on your list.
So this is, when was it written? It should have the publishing date there.
November 4th, 2019.
Oh, so close enough to 5 years.
Yeah. Do you want number 10?
This might embarrass me, this. But this is, you know,
yeah,
time and place and all that.
Scratch that. It must have been edited because this says posted on 28th of September, 2019.
Right, okay. Probably just republished it. Number 10.
Shooter!
Shota Umino. Well, he had a 5.75 star match last year against Will Ospreay. Look, here's what happened, and this is what happens, and this is why things are hard to predict. He was a really promising young lion.
He was one of the more featured. He's probably going to make it, Young Lions. And everyone fell in love with John Moxley and showed at Umino. He showed lots of promise. I think he'd had a match, like this 5-minute match with Tanahashi. I don't know if I'm remembering this, where it was just like, you can do the most. I mean, you're in there with Tana, but you've got something here. Is Shota Umino one of the best wrestlers in the world right now? Nope, he isn't. Got it wrong.
Number 9 is one match away from being on the WrestleMania card. Tyler Bate.
I mean, if he was in a different system, he could have been. If he had decided, you know what, I'm not going to be in a warehouse. I'm not going to join this transparent excuse to just basically nuke the UK indie scene because we're scared that the World of Sport reboot got a pretty damn good deal on one of the most viewed channels in the UK. It lasted all of a season, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Bate versus who was then known as Volta was one of the best matches WWE's ever done.
Yeah.
40 minutes of just utter incredible drama. He's completely lost it. He can do his greatest hits, and yes, it's kind of happening for him to a degree on SmackDown, but again, he's one of those wrestlers that has been lapped so often by now that it's difficult to remember just how promising and how great he once was. If he just decided, you know what, I want no part of this, I'll try my hand in New Japan. I'm not saying we'd have the... I don't think he's got the personality to be a top star in wrestling, but in terms of pure in-ring, yeah, he should have been so much more.
Number 8 is Kento Miyahara.
He still pops up with an incredible match every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
An incredible match every now and then, but ultimately marginalized given the promotion he works for.
Number 7. Not in WWE or AEW right now. Over in New Japan, being a bit of a scapegoat. Jungle Boy.
Hey, Jack Perry seemed to have everything. Good looks. Like, you should resent him for how good-looking and young and successful he was at an early age, but projected such incredible likability. And yet I thought that was the kind of substance that would make it really hard for fans to turn their backs on him. Mm. Again, just like an incredibly good athlete. You knew he could have that PWG style down pat quicker than most. Like, he was probably better at his age and level of experience than the books were as babyfaces in PWG. And you thought with AEW, he would have every chance with creative freedom to like develop however way he saw fit. Sorry, it didn't happen. He's been in some unbelievable matches.
Mm.
And he's, you know, I just didn't really work.
Number 6, Jacob Fatu.
I mean, like, you still see the clips of him looking like a f***ing freak. Yes. Athlete on Twitter. But the guy has a history which so far has prevented him from, yes, working in the majors. And I thought maybe being wrestling, if you've got potential, not being funny, like, WWE, you've tried and failed dismally to push Gable Steveson.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I didn't think it would be that much of a barrier, but apparently it is.
Number 5, you can feel really stupid.
Jake Fatu did something very different, just so we are abundantly clear on that. Allegedly did something different to what Gable Steveson allegedly did.
Number 5 is Will Ospreay.
He was already up there then, but I think I've written something to the effect of the guy will only get more unbelievable.
I didn't realise this. Number 4.
Cool. Can I have a winner?
Hmm? Cool Kyle O'Reilly.
Jesus Christ. I'm not pressing.
You weren't to know he's going to be missing for 2 years, to be fair.
Yeah. Turns out I'm not prescient at all. Cool Kyle, 2019, was still very much the... arguably the best in-ring worker of a then red-hot Undisputed Era, who had this really likable charisma about him. He just had breakout babyface super worker written all over him and didn't work. I blame Triple H and the terrible Capital Wrestling Center. Just three.
Top 3.
I really hope I get some wins here.
I'll give you a clue. They're all in AEW right now. Not all necessarily working right now.
Don't say I've put Sammy Guevara on there.
Hang on. I've got the button for this.
No, dear, that's wrong.
God, had some taste.
Two spot on, one.
Didn't put Takeshita in there, did I?
No, dear, that's wrong.
Oh, it's a shame. I'm stupid. How about Kenny? Because he's still going to continue to be a guard.
No, but you've got in close.
Hangman.
No, dear, that's wrong. No, dear, that's wrong.
Danielson, because he's ageless and great?
No, dear, that's
I'd
wrong.
I'm trying to do... Okada, because he's going to be in his wrestler's prime.
Bingo!
With a bullet. I had faith that he'd still be unbelievable.
Number three is a very close personal friend of mine.
Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
MJF.
Hey, beginning of 2023, I was right.
Yeah. The other one you're not going to be happy about.
It's not Matt Hardy, is it?
You know, it's not that bad. And who knows what could happen next, but it's Jay White.
Hey, he had the best, according to some people, this man in 2023, 5 years from the date of publication of that article, 4 years since the date of that publication, had what many people believe is the single best tag team match in the history of American television. I don't agree, but, you know.
Right, let's fly through some final questions as we wrap up here. We can
basically, I'm sorry, who answered the 5 years question?
Sam.
Yeah, quite clearly, I've got no idea. But I'm yeah. not. And it's those like they, weren't hot takes.
They were trending towards overtaking Raw in the ratings and stuff, and then, you know, things changed. So who knows what it's going to look like in 2 years, let alone five.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, I've got no idea. Look, for me personally, where would I like to see AEW in 5 years' time? Just this. Mm. The Coca-Cola Coliseum.
Yeah.
That size of building, that size of crowd, that level of atmosphere, that level of quality, I'd be happy if things just stayed the same.
We'll play a final game to finish off. But I'll fly through some of these final ones. Thank you to everyone who sent it to us. Mike Rodriguez says, if you could bring in Tatanka to have a feud with one top star, who would it be and why?
Osprey, just to see... I want to see Osprey versus someone crap.
Yeah, see what it would look like.
And Tatanka, it was never really good. I'd love to see Will Osprey against someone who's actively not very good. Like Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, that would be fascinating.
There's no one who's like that bad in AEW other than Matt Hardy, of course. maybe there are, I'm just not thinking properly. We've already seen him against Jericho. Guess what? It was class. Tatanka versus Osprey. I want to see how Osprey and or Danielson.
Miles says, howdy gents, with TK talking about an AEW Hall of Fame, who would be your first choice to be included?
Tony Khan's, do you see who the two picks were?
Sting, I assume?
Sting and Mr. Brody Lee.
That makes
I'm not arguing
sense.
And I would agree with those. For me, it's so hard. The Elite is a unit, and then in a surprise, have Cody appear on stage with them and get him inducted as well.
That's nice.
This is the Elite.
Yeah.
Again, as I said at the top of the podcast, every peak in this company has got one thing in common. What is it? Wilbon, what is it?
Concerning where they go after that.
Yeah, but what's the peak? It's the Elite.
Oh, sorry. I thought, yeah. Yes.
The Elite is the Elite. Remember Hamlet? Was saying at the brawl out, I don't need the Elite back. I was like, I'll be a mate. Are you on drugs? Because
what?
This atmosphere is bad and we need closure one way or the other. I don't need the back of anything. I hate this idea that the Elite have to be in AEW. One of these days, I've had some terrible takes. Look at what you've just read out on air.
Pretty fair, I think.
There weren't hard takes at the time. I might try that again.
I like it. Where's that? I've just lost that other question. Mr. David, thank you for your thing. We sort of already answered this about in terms of who you want to face who are all in. So you've already answered Osprey, Okada, and Omega, haven't you? Danielson and Mercedes, who you got?
Do I want to see Danielson, Nigel McGuinness? You know,
I think the amount of work they've put in, I want to see it.
I mean, I think they've done a great job of building it, but like Daniel, one thing that's not been mentioned. You know, I know they brought back, Danielson, WWE brought back Danielson and Shibata. It's that Nigel McGuinness himself believes he has been permanently brain damaged. That's a big concern. It's a fun, really, really fun, funny thing they've got going. So if not McGuinness,
and I'm not a doctor. Samson clears him. I'm like, right, you know what? That's absolutely fine by me. Danielson, we already have had the Ospreay match. Have we seen? I know I've already booked Pac for something else. Have you seen like a major Danielson versus Pac match when they were both at their very, very best? I don't think so. I
can't think of it.
And Danielson's thing is, he's the good version of Jericho. He will do jobs, but it still means something.
Yes, yes.
And you'll never really believe he's going to lose until he loses because he's so good. And if he wants to, I think his whole thing was when his daughter turns 7, he'll start to wind down. And that happens before All In. Danielson, after a bit of a hiatus, putting over Pac in Wembley.
And Mercedes. Yeah, how do you know this was Mercedes and Tony Storm and Jamie Hayter? Leo Omega asks a similar question with regards to TBS and Mercedes and Hayter and Factory and all that.
You know what you could do with Mercedes and Hayter? And you just completely underscore that Mercedes is a huge star, the fulcrum. They could do their own version of Cody failing to finish a story and have Mercedes beat Jamie Hayter at Wembley. It's like, oh, Christ. And then have Jamie Hayter beat Mercedes in England the year after.
Okay, I like
Get
that.
Get themselves something to do. Because Mercedes is going to have to be on top for a long old bloody time. You can't do these sentimental hometown wins at the expense of someone whose very mission statement is to elevate this women's division.
There's a lot of hometown wins you've booked on the All-In card already.
And they get upset. We don't want WrestleFest.
Yeah.
We don't want, what did he say?
The British Invasion.
British Invasion, you know what I mean?
Kenny Omega's Broom says, is Swerve Strickland really ready to be world champion of a major promotion like AEW?
I don't know.
You said he had the wobble on the promos.
A bit of a promo wobble. His in-ring in the Continental Classic wasn't as good as the stuff on Collision.
Mm-hmm.
He, to me, and I've said this again in circles, like Ospreay's better than him. Ospreay's a better promo. Ospreay's better in the ring. And they work a pretty similar style as well. That kind of hybrid style, that strike-based, aerial-based, like power, like the we can do it all types. Like the timing of Ospreay coming in, I don't think it's unfortunate for Swerve's prospects as champion in that they're going to give him it. I mean, that pay-per-view, I think it's called Dynasty for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whether he can be a good champion. Look, it's...
He'll be a good transitional champion. I love Swerve.
The thing about Swerve
but right
is
now,
like...
You're right. You're just looking past him into Ospreay.
I hate... The worst thing about Swerve is that I think if... It's not about adding stuff to his game. It's about taking it away.
Mm.
Like that slow motion roll he does before like some of his cutters or whatever. I just think that he's got some bad habits that I'd really like him to unlearn. I'll happy to be surprised, but yeah, for me, as of February 2024, sorry, no. But you could argue that what's happening in and around AEW is the best possible test of how good he should be or can be to be in this role, because goddamn, the competition is unbelievable.
Final couple of questions. We've got to tread a little bit carefully here. The arse formerly known as Jimmy Blade has said, can you give me 3 wrestlers who should have their contracts paid off so they lose no money and are free from tomorrow to work indie, sign somewhere else, and do whatever they want? I know you've mentioned Wardlow has probably done so. 3 others, please. Just to clarify, this is not us campaigning for anyone to be fired or anything like that. But yeah, who do you think would benefit from, let's say, going away from AEW for a bit? You know, maybe going on excursion to New Japan or just having the freedom to go and work for some other companies and go away so I can miss you.
Or just go to the Fed.
Or go to the Fed.
And make money elsewhere and be completely refreshed. Wardlow, I've said it a million times, right? He is the sort of character... And he has the certain in-ring style that doesn't really lend itself to that 25 to 35 minute main event plus. I'm not being in a modern promotion anywhere in the world, you have to be able to go that distance in that main event slot. And, you know, like I just think people have made it look so easy for years. It's not meant to be easy. I've seen people fail when they've been given the title. And those extra 5 to 10 minutes really add up.
Mm.
Kofi Kingston in 2019, we saw it there. He couldn't do it for that long. Those matches were pretty bad. Wardlow, we've seen him try to do a decent length back and forth, not very good at it. It's just a lot of wrestlers in this incredibly talented generation have made going that distance in the main event look easy. It really isn't. Wardlow, I'd like to see go to WWE. He's just done everything he can in AEW, and it gets a little painful the more they try and reboot it. Sammy Guevara, just, it's almost unfair on him, because the more he's going to get pushed from now on, it's going to be such a pushback from people saying, we've kind of communicated to you before that he doesn't have it, or we don't want him in those slots. Maybe he could reinvent himself elsewhere. Like the Drew McIntyre thing. Yeah. Sometimes it's the best, a change of scenery, even for a bit less money. They're on more money than I am, these people. I don't you know what I mean? Like, it's time to be a bit ruthless. Third, what's the full question? Who do you think in AEW you could see or should go somewhere else to test themselves? Wardlow and Sammy Guevara really stand out as total noble failures. AEW, the booking wasn't great, but you cannot accuse them of giving up. They've tried too many times, if anything.
In this scenario, Jericho's taking Hook to New Japan for a bit, by the
way. Yes, he is. Because Jericho needs to go away and Hook needs reps.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think of someone I've not talked about extensively when it comes to this kind of question. Who could really benefit from just seeing if you've got... I think... If it was up to me, right, and it's like, right, you can pick our wrestler, a name wrestler, to go to WWE, number one at the top of my list at the minute, Adam Cole.
Wow.
Adam Cole just hasn't really worked out in AEW.
And rebuild that aura in WWE, potentially.
Go to WWE, where you'll probably really get a push now.
Mm.
It's just like, it hasn't worked for him in AEW. Has not worked for him.
Well, that segues nicely into my final question for you. It comes from Wills Ospreay, who says, afternoon, gents. If you could each cherry pick one member of the WWE roster to join AEW, who would you choose and why?
No one. It's full! I've been saying this. I mean, it turns out it wasn't full because they've quite brilliantly incorporated Okada and Ospreay and Money.
If you had to have someone, you could pick within reason. You can't have Roman Reigns.
Gunther. I want to see how good he really is. I mean, I know, but when was his last good WWE match? His last truly great WWE match. I think it's kind of overstated how much he's the ring general in pro wrestling right now. Danielson has better matches than him. Ospreay has better matches than him. Gunther versus Danielson. Gunther versus Omega are my two biggest, like the true forbidden doors between WWE and AEW. Gunther versus Danielson. Gunther versus Omega.
Gunther versus Jarrett.
Nine.
I'm going to sacrifice my selection, Michael Sidgwick, and instead we'll do
this.
I'm going
to have Roman Reigns even in my...
I'm going to sacrifice my choice for this.
Does he have no conscience?
Oh, no. Hang on. Thanks, Jim Ross, but that wasn't what I meant to get. For this.
It's time to play the game!
Who should jump from WWE to AEW? Great news, Michael Sidgwick. They've extended AEW Dynamite to 3 hours.
Shut up.
And this person will be the focus of one of those hours. You can have Ospreay, you can have the Elite, you're going to have Mercedes Moné, and then Pro Evo Rules. Got three goes at the current WWE roster.
To get a similar amount of profile in that third hour.
Yeah. Oh, which, I'm very excited to tell you, also features stars from NXT as I look at it. If it, there's some commentators and stuff on there. If it lands on.
I'm not joking.
Yeah, that would be sick. But I'm scrolling through. When you're ready, tell me to stop. I'll give you the number of the people I can see on screen.
Nathan Fraser is one of them.
Yeah. Tell me when to stop, and I'll give you the amount of people I can see on my screen.
Stop.
Okay. I've got four people on my screen right now.
Two.
He's Nathan Fraser. Hang on.
When I'm cleaning windows.
Stick. Right, he's unbelievable.
Good news. It's gone to 4 hours now, AEW Dynamite. I'm just going through again. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Four again.
Four.
Mark Coffey.
Twist!
Okay, I am scrolling through now.
Stop.
Right. This is... You got, like, a box full of loads of money, or, like, something you really like. Nice coffee beans.
Lovely, like, roasted specialty coffee beans.
But one of these boxes is a box full of dog poo.
Yeah.
One to four.
One.
Yes! Sorry. I'll say this. Nothing against her. She was not the person I was alluding to there. Number four was Carmen Petrovic, who still needs some seasoning in NXT. Number three was Carl Anderson. number two was Kairi Sane, who I would like to see in AEW. And I hope she... I don't know what's going on with her at the moment. She doesn't feel like the same Kairi Sane I remember. But Michael Sidgwick, I know this wasn't technically a final choice. You would have had a twist, but I almost put my entire life savings on the fact that you will not twist this because the newest member of the AEW roster to be fully focused on is one of your favourites from WWE, Julius Creed.
Yeah! Oh, imagine that. He'll kick ass. Kick ass.
Bruce can come with him as well if he wants to, but we love Julius Creed here at What Culture. Right, we'll conclude that there. Thank you so much to everyone for their brilliant questions. And if you're enjoying this sort of thing, we will do another live Q&A on YouTube on Monday afternoon here in the UK, fully focused on WrestleMania because it is just over 2 weeks away. But thank you to everyone who sent us questions on X at WhatCultureWWE. If you're on there, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. But now, for now, this has been the AEW Q&A. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.